Hello and welcome to my first attempt at podcast reviews. I've tried it on Letterboxd before, sort of typed up easy reviews, etc. But I thought vocalising is the future because who wants to read anything? I'm going to go under the guise of the unnamed reviewer because one, it sounds cool, and two, because of the place I work, I'm not allowed to publish reviews under my name and stuff, so I'm going to try and be mysterious. So this first recording is going to be my top 10 of 2014. I know what you guys are thinking, it's nearly February, why haven't you done it already? We're bored, we want to get into 2015 already, we want to, you know, enjoy the films that are coming out there. 2014 was so last year. Well, we have a thing in the UK where all our decent films don't from the previous year don't get released till January because that counts as our award season. In America, these are generally released towards the tail end of the year, around Thanksgiving and all the holidays because it's a big film going season. For some reason in England, January just seems to be, you know, the time that people want to watch genuinely good films. We have to put over all this stuff the year round, not very good films. And then bam, January, everything is amazing. So, a lot of the films on my list are going to be films that have recently been released. There's quite a few that were released last year, properly, officially. So people are going to, you know, question, oh, wait a minute, these should be 2015. It's 2014. It's the, you know, the year in the credits, the year, you know, the creators of the film or whatever, or the distributors wanted the film to be released in. This just happens to, you know, just like I mentioned, January is the award season time in the UK, so all this stuff has come out. So I get criticisms of this all the time, but, you know, whatever. This is my top 10 list. This is why it's late, because I have to work to see these films. So to begin with, we have number 10, Still Alice, starring Julianne Moore. This isn't officially out in the UK till March, so I've cheated a little. I've seen it through, you know, means in which we should not discuss, but needless to say, it is an excellent film. The premise basically is Julianne Moore plays a linguistics teacher who, at a young age, comes down with early onset dementia, Alzheimer's, you know, that horrible disease. And the film basically just covers how, you know, her family react to this, how she reacts to this, you know, professor of language coming down with this illness that's, you know, making her lose her mind, like to lose her power of words. Kind of a bit like me in this review. Initially, I did think it was a bit hokey that, oh, you know, this linguistics teacher, oh, she's going to have a problem with words. She loves words so much. But no, it's handled beautifully. Performed beautifully by Julianne Moore. The cast is fantastic. It's got Kristen Stewart actually acting in it for a change, which is a fantastic feat in any film. Really beautifully shot, really sensitive, really moving film. Highly recommended. Number 9 is Obvious Child, a sort of maybe rom-com, dramedy, in the vein of Frances Ha, maybe part of the mumblecore genre that's cropped up over the years. Essentially stars Jenny Slate, which most people will recognise as Mona Lisa Saperstein in Parks and Recreation. Once you can get past that, such a great film, such a funny comedy, but so moving. It's essentially about a 20-something stand-up, has an unplanned pregnancy, and has to confront this. It's kind of a tale of empowerment as how she's going to deal with the situation. Reviewers have, you know, called it the most funny abortion themed film ever, which is a bit crass, but it's a really great film. Number 8, in a similar vein, we have The Skeleton Twins, another sort of dramedy, black comedy, starring Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig as twin brother and sister, both coincidentally attempting to commit suicide and failing on the same day. They rekindle their estranged relationship and deal with, you know, their life, that confront their issues that they're having together. Because they're strange, they look at fixing relationships, seeing, you know, what went wrong, what made them drift apart. They both have very different lives. Bill Hader's character's this gay guy who's, you know, a bit down on his luck. Kristen Wiig's this married woman who's looking for something more. They both kind of make ill-informed decisions about their lives, but they kind of have each other to, you know, right themselves. It's funny that it sounds, considering the two main characters tried to kill themselves at the start. It does take itself a little bit too seriously at times, but it's just a really, really human, realistic film about relationships, and I just loved it. Next, at number 7, we have the not-so-serious Lego Movie. Highest-grossing film in the UK, 2014. Just amazing. Amazing animation. Brilliant direction from Christopher Miller and Philip Lord, two of my favourite directors. Just so funny. Most of you have probably seen it, but so I don't really need to, you know, say much about it, but it's just life-affirmingly charming and sweet and happy. Number 6 is something I thought I'd never see in my own top 10, Guardians of the Galaxy. Superhero film, you're probably all familiar with it, a Marvel film, for another thing, which I haven't really been big on Marvel for since the first Iron Man film, I don't think. Just super funny sci-fi superhero comedy. I don't know what to say about it that hasn't already been said, but it's just so much fun, just so well directed, just so many, it's just everything you want in a comic book film. Number 5 is Richard Linklater's Boyhood. You may have heard about this. It was filmed over 12 years. It follows a family, essentially, but mainly focuses on the young boy, Mason, from the ages 5 to 18. It's just an amazingly told drama with such a huge scope. Obviously, you see, you know, you literally see the cast grow in front of your eyes. It's just something like you haven't quite seen before. Just really great drama. Number 4, we have my personally scariest film of the year and scariest film in quite some time, The Babadook. It's an Australian horror about a single mother who is dealing with her husband's final death while raising her kid. Her kid's got this obsession with, like, a monster in the house. You know, your typical boogeyman that the mum doesn't think is real, but, you know, things start happening, she starts to question her own sanity. It's just really great psychological horror. It's just really stylish and just brilliant. So that is my top 10 of 2014. Positions number 10 to 4. I'm going to do a separate podcast for the top 3, just so I can talk about them a bit more. I don't want to overload you guys with, you know, information and stuff. So please let me know what you thought of this podcast. If you'd like me to do more, that'd be cool. Let me know some of your favorite films of the year, just things like that. And I'll see you guys next time. This is the Unnamed Reviewer signing off.